We'll just put on the music.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's starting right now.
Yep.
What is wrong with you people?
Activate.
Can't you be quiet for one night?
2, 1.
What you gonna bring to the table tonight? Give it to them, and I'ma give it to you. They don't understand the whole thing.
Ladies and gentlemen,
okay, my name is Edward L. Fairley.
Man up, man up.
This is my baby. Relationship is my passion, my love.
Everybody wants it. There's nobody in the world that does not want to feel wanted or special. I don't care who you are. Now that's something I'm willing to say is a something that everybody.
Out there, one of my close friends and brother, and of course Eddie's friend as well, brother. We got the one and only Mr. Hassan Black is online with this topic, and I appreciate it.
Man up!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good evening. Good evening. How's everybody doing?
To tell it how I see it, because I've been on both sides of the coin.
Those who are checking the show, the Man Up Talk Show, as we try to build what we're doing in this movement. We got my brother, other brother here, Dow Harrington, and welcome to the show as another host, of course.
Man up! Man up!
Now, I appreciate smart. You gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
When you meet people, you want to know their knowledge. You want to know their story. What's the backstory? What brought you to this day? And if you build something who can help you to achieve that, it would be just totally ignorant.
We are on deck. We want to welcome everyone to the show. We're listening to New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia. Well, I checked you out earlier. Once again, yours from Mr. Nass, and I want to send a special.
I think all you men have nailed it, because the fact remains, we can't teach our younger men to become better men if we're being hypocrites. We're being hypocrites about what we're telling them to do.
Have things done to me, and I have done them. So I'm speaking from experience, and I'm also speaking from being able to tell you that it's real.
Everybody has to have a core. There's something that drives me. There's something that is bigger than ourselves.
Are you kidding me? Did you really just come at me like that? You will be eliminating the people that just don't have no business coming in your direction in the first place by the way you carry yourself, the way that you speak, and everything like that. So all you're doing is eliminating and inviting the correct people in your life.
No. We want to hear the difference.
Where do y'all want to go with this? You're talking children. You're talking relationships. You're talking all kinds of things. And it blows my mind, man.
Yo, the Man Up Show is on the air. The Man Up Show is on the air. November 1st, the 11th month of the year. The Man Up Show is on the air. It's Big D Dow Harrington here tonight. Eddie, Edward L. Fairley is online. Eddie.
Yo.
Yo, we are on deck this night. Nas, I knew you online.
I'm here, man. I'm just tired of worship.
I hate you.
But I got to count my blessings, man. Got to count my blessings. But some cats ain't got a job, so God gave me in this power and to have to.
Brother, like I said, man, man, hold on to it as long as you can until the things that we got behind the scenes jump off. Absolutely. I know.
Why
exactly.
You think I'm here? I'm trying to get this damn office going.
I know.
Oh, man. Big Ed, brother. You on the board tonight.
Yeah. It's
all
different.
Right. Give him a round of applause. We got Edward L. Ferry holding down the boards. Oh,
yes,
well, they told me. I was like, wait a minute. My dog got the boards. it's different, brother.
Yeah.
You know, welcome to the lodge, Eddie. Welcome to the lodge. Eddie got this.
Yeah, you see the boards, right, brother?
Yeah, man, this is really different. Let's crack it with it. This is different.
Good or bad, what? is it a little stressful?
It's just I got to stay focused. I got to stay focused on a lot of things at one time. So, yeah, it's different. It's different.
Yeah, man. There's some moving parts, but like I said, you know, you got this. You know, like I said, we've all had our baptism under fire. Well, welcome to the baptismal pool, my brother. You know.
Well, hey, listen, this is how it is. We all in, man, you know.
This
is all in. To be behind the scenes sometimes and working the boards and gotta sit there, click this person on, put them on, and you monitor the time, you see the time and everything, like, oh, damn, like, how I been running my mouth? I gotta shut the hell up.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you got background noise and somebody's lying.
Exactly.
Right? You know,
who's farting in the background?
You know, you gotta try to figure it all out. Which one is doing what? Who?
You know, switch him off with this board on. He's on line two. But yeah, man, you'll be able to see the calls coming in. You'll be able to monitor who's coming in. You can mute them. Like, listen, I don't like what you're saying. Mute. Well, you drop a bomb on them. Like, I'm not feeling you right now, brother. Shut the hell up.
I can do that by talking. I don't need to meet nobody.
you ain't never lied.
That might not have wanted me to get this kind of control.
Hold on. We got the superpower now. But hold up. Brother, hold up. Is this the Edward L. Ferry show we about to go to?
Yeah.
Hold on, you don't
mean
it. You
know,
everybody.
You know, that is fact. Me and Eddie were talking about. We were talking about a future show that we're going to have, right, like during the holidays while, you know,
uh-oh,
we're taking a week off that we're going to put on the air for the people, the best of show, in which we're going to highlight some of the best of Edward L. Ferry.
Oh, no.
In his shinier moments where, yes, he doesn't need a mute button. He is his own personal mute button, and we're going to highlight some of these because those are some of the highlights of my entire year.
We need to do that. We need to definitely put together the best of show. You know, I think you talked about it before. Pick the best of shows, and we put together. Let the listeners be entertained.
By all means, you know, because you know that Friday in between Christmas and New Year's, you know, we're gonna be in parts unknown. So, since that's the case, we're going to give everybody the best
show. My favorite show, I got to say for you any further, that damn thing when he just ripped that man apart, when he went after Juwan, and he went, I'm sorry, your cousin, man. That was vintage.
I know.
That was vintage. I've never seen men broken down like a punk bitch. I mean, I thought he was looking at something in the corner.
Oh my God. Yo. Matter of fact, we were talking about that just early today. Am I lying?
He has not called me. He has not talked to me since. Good
months ago? I mean, what how bad it is when you have a person that you come up with talk to you for years, and in one session, in conversation, you've been broken down so bad.
You didn't want even the whole conversation. My nigga hung up before the show was over. It wasn't even a whole conversation.
We're going to bring that topic back up, communication. That has to come back up because to this day, he hasn't called me. I call him, don't call me back. I say, what's up? He gives me a, yo, what's going on? You know, what's up? I love you. I'm good. Mm. How you doing?
Mm.
You know, I got a little attitude. I'm like, you know, you're just sucking your teeth. I'm like, you ain't still mad because of the show. That's your boy. Key point, he's not my boy. He's a man. That's a difference. When a grown man still refers to another man as a boy,
he
haven't grown up yet. Mm. Oh, my God. Yeah. To this day, thank you. I lost
a friend, man. I apologize.
But it's cool, man. But you know what? Sometimes God put things in front of you to see who really people really are, man.
Lose a friend to find a brother.
That's exactly what I looked at it. But it was just beautiful, man. It was just like vintage stuff. Like,
I mean,
it was no script.
He cut that boy bad. Bad.
You made two men stutter like, oh, man. I mean, damn, brother. Sound like a car starting. So I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
No, I'm sorry. We're getting off the subject, yo. I'm sorry.
We got a couple minutes before we can go into the topic, but yes, I must admit, now the Jay episode, that was funny too. Now, the thing is, though, I tried to help the brother out.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let me play. No, I got this. Okay, you got this. I step back. So the grown man tells me he got this. What am I going to do? I'm going to let him do it. What do you got to do? Man, that's the last time that nigga was ever going to use those words. I got this. Because Eddie ripped him a brand new.
Yeah, he kept saying, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, what are you saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. Not than anybody else. For the third time, no, nobody knows what you're saying. Like, oh, man.
Dang. Nah, that was brutal, bro. That was rough. You know, but I know what your favorite one is. I'm guilty. I'm guilty, and Mr. Dowd and Mr. Opportunist. No, this is good.
it was actually
bonding and cause of peace. You know, no, he's edging it out. No, that's good. We like this. I'm like, what the hell?
Yo, man, I'm telling you, man, that shit was great for ratings. I mean, look, if you look at the numbers on that show,
You damn opportunist Hitler.
Look, it is what it is. I never said that I was a Boy Scout. It never came out. Well, actually, I was a Boy Scout. But that's not the point. The point is, you know, the ratings were hot. I mean, the funniest stuff, though, in that in particular episode really wasn't what was on the air. It was the conversation that I had with you off the air. I am so damn sorry.
But you know, real talk, honestly, after behind the scenes, I felt that Eddie came more my brother than anybody else. I was like, that's my man. That's my dude right there for life. Straight up. We talked, and he came more my brother after that.
Man, I'm like, damn. I mean, like, I wish to have those conversations. The one that I had with Eddie and the one that I had with you. If that shit was on air, I mean, I swear, we would be somewhere else doing something else on a beach somewhere because that shit was funny.
Like I said, he's Mr. Opportunist here.
Yeah, man. Look here, I'm thinking about audience all the time.
I hear you, brother.
This is our people. I mean, like, can we resolve a conflict and do it entertainingly? Yes, we resolve a conflict and we did it entertainingly.
Did you tell Brother Eddie how I'm not gonna throw this brother under the bus. I'm learning. I'm trying to work on my ways going into New Year.
Those people under the bus.
No. Yo, Brother Eddie, why did you tell Brother Eddie that someone, and he made me listen to the show, took a chunk out of our whole entire family?
Yes, I did. I told him that.
I'm talking about everything too. I'm talking about every. I mean, we consider me, you know, now to break it down for me. I had to make you understand because I felt like coming at the cat. But I was like, he was like, you know what? It's the ultimate honor when people want to represent.
That is a compliment. I said that.
I looked at it like that. I said, you know what? You're right. No problem.
Because ain't nobody gonna bite off somebody who's doing it wrong.
Brother Eddie, this dude did off in the worst way possible. I'm talking about the three panel people, you know, to the same programs we use, to the same format. I'm like, wow, really, bro? Really? Yeah. Seriously? You know, and the same cat that was around me all the time asking questions and being very critical of what I was doing, what we was doing. I'm like, oh, okay, you're critical, but yet I see you trying to, you know, take a piece of the rock. I said, okay, but so shout out to you, bro. You know, much love to you. Wish you success. Nice. I'm only kidding.
You know, like I said,
I'm sorry. That's my vindictive side. I'm sorry. I'm really going to wish competition success. The only person I'm going to give a shout out to is Diamond D. We love her and her show. And I know Sig checks her out sometimes. She's been supporting us, so. She's real people, her and her husband. But that was a cat. Kill yourself. I'm sorry. You know, Nas is ready. I'm ready to go tonight, man. I'm with you, man. I'm ready to go in, man. Whatever the topic is, politicians. Oh, I got a bunch of things to say about politicians. Now, I know you're running for office, bro. You got to get some work,
bro.
You got to get some work because You guys, all the kissing babies, shit, and all that other stuff. I mean, come on. Really? You're running for office and stuff like that? I mean, do you really want to kiss on these happy people? A husband? Did y'all have sanitizer with all the hands y'all shake? I mean, they got boogers on their hands. You know, I mean, come on. Don't you hate the dumbass men that they try to talk about politics and never even graduated grammar school?
For sure.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I got rights, brother. You know, the Bill of Rights says, you know, I have the right to smoke weed. Like, what the fuck you talking about, son? Really?
Yeah. Oh, he is out today. We got to get this topic started. Dang, no.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I feel good. Y'all got me motivated, man. I'm going to align with my brothers. Let's go. Let's just attack this politics. Now, I'm saying Virginia got this, the governor coming in?
Say what now?
Edward?
Yeah.
Hello? You still there? Yeah. So, Dad, you want to lead in, brother? I'm with you.
All right. Okay. I'll lead in. Tonight's topic. Okay. This coming Tuesday is Election Day. As men, we need to be accountable not only for what goes on in our households, but we also need to be responsible and accountable for what goes on in our community. If we want to have a say-so on what goes on, we have to be big boys and put on the big boy pants to be able to step to the table and know what the fuck is going on. A lot of times we do not know what the fuck is going on. We're not informed. So we either go, well, man, we can't do nothing about that shit anyway. Or it's dumb bullshit. Why? Because, you know, you ain't take the time to figure out what the fuck is going on. So tonight, what we're going to attempt to do is just put everybody D on the election that's coming up on this coming Tuesday. State of Virginia, state of New Jersey, y'all are picking a governor. I'm going to let Eddie lead the VA talk because, well, shit, he's in VA. You know, Jersey, I'll gladly talk about fat-ass Chris Christie. I mean, I'm sorry, the governor of the state of New Jersey, Chris Christie. Or his competition, Barbara Bono. So we're gonna dip into that topic of, you know, who's running for what and who's, you know, doing what. And, you know, if anybody wants to call in, dial in, have a conversation about it, you know what the number is. It's 646-478-4507. So that's 646-478-4507. Or hit us up on Twitter. I'm on Twitter like a bee. So, like I said, if you put it up there, I'll gladly read that for the panel, and we can just go and chop it up back and forth, forth and back. You know, you never know who might call in. We know Sig's going to call in eventually. We're going to talk to Siggy for the Siggy special for the week, and we're going to see what's going on. So that's about it for right now. I think we need to go to a music interlude. What do you say, boys?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Did Eddie get notes button in?
Edward.
You mean I know which button there is on the board. You remember, it's 5 by 5, bro.
Learn that. the original, original, original,
Hey, 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 what's going on, everyone? We are back.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Brother D, you with us? We good?
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Brother Eddie?
We here. I'm here.
Okay, once again, welcome everybody to the Man Up Talk Show. We're back for another episode. Brother Dow, for those just tuning in, you let everyone know what's our topic for this evening.
Tonight's topic is election 2013. We're here to talk to those, basically, those of you who live in Virginia, those of you who live in New Jersey. We're going in on this Tuesday's election. Why it's important, who's running, you know, what you feel about it, what you want to do about it. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to lead off with New Jersey. I just start this puppy. First, I'd like to pay condolences to the Essex County Democratic Chair, Phil Thigpen. He passed away this past Tuesday. So the County of Essex, their Democratic Chairman, he passed away. Condolences go out to him and his family. And that's it as far as that's concerned. That's why our man Tom Reynolds can't be online tonight, because Tom is currently, he's at the wake right now. I'm going to go to the funeral tomorrow. So that's what's going on there. Now the election itself. The election for governor of the state of New Jersey is a rather famous man nationally. Chris Christie, the governor of the state of New Jersey, is a relatively famous man, has been governor of the state of New Jersey the past 4 years. He was a prosecutor. He's Republican. He is one of the front runners for the nomination for 2016. It's felt that Chris Christie's going to run for president. He is seen as a moderate. He's very popular with Shaquille O'Neal. That makes anybody, never mind. He's running against a woman by the name of Barbara Bono. Barbara Bono was or is a New Jersey State Senator. She is a Democrat. She's from Nutley, New Jersey. She is behind in the polls greatly. Barbara Bono is a supporter of raising the minimum wage. She's a supporter for women's rights, the right to choose. She's in favor of marriage equality, equal pay for equal work. Now, all these things that I've mentioned, Chris Christie is not in favor of. Also, Governor Christie has been in a contentious war with the teachers' union almost from the second that he became governor. A lot of our property taxes have risen tremendously under Governor Christie's administration. So that's pretty much the take on what's going on in Jersey. Me personally, I am backing Bob Bruno for governor. That's just me. So if anybody else wants to chime in or want to discuss it, by all means, let's grab the number, 646-478-4507. Eddie, can you just give us a very quick? Keith's turn here is quick.
Oh, it's going to be real quick.
Give us a very quick overview of what's going on down in your neck of the woods.
The whole thing is about is versus this Cuccinelli versus McAuliffe. Cuccinelli is Republican. These are some interesting behind names. I'm thinking of Cucci when I think of the other dude. And McAuliffe. I'm a big cooker, so I keep thinking of McCormick seasoning. But he's a Democrat. And I'm going to be honest with you, I haven't done too much research on it. My strategy is simply get as many Democrats in office to help with help Obama to do whatever it is that he's been trying to do. Because believe it or not, a lot of people, they fault Obama for nothing happening, but they're not. I don't understand how people can get upset with him when he's trying to do things, but it's clearly the office that's keeping him from doing the things that he wants to do, which I really don't understand why they didn't make a big deal about this part of the election. I personally think that that's where they dropped the ball about the first part of the election. We were so excited about getting Obama in to office that we just totally forgot about the help that he needed to do what he needed to do while he was in office.
Right.
My whole thing, like I said, my strategy is to get as many different Democrats in office to help him to make the decisions that he wants to make. And this guy, McAuliffe, like I said, I want to call him McCormick, seems to be the guy that is supporting. Matter of fact, they sent out a letter or what have you in the mail, Obama and Michelle and them, and also the Clintons, stating that guy is the one that is more supportive of what it is that Obama's doing. So that's my game plan. That's my strategy. And I'm going to go vote for the Democratic Party, which is McAuliffe.
All right, well, you heard it here, folks. Both of us seem to be rocking the Democratic Party, but everybody that says the free system, our forefathers, our parents, our grandparents, have died, struggled, protested for us to have the right to vote. So by all means, get out there this season, go vote. You don't know what the topics are. You don't know what the issues are. Well, on the Man Up community page and on the Man Up group page, YouTube videos of each debate. Whether you live in Jersey, you live in Virginia, their last debate is on there so you can hear the candidate go at it and state what their points are and what they stand for and what they represent. So there's no reason for anybody to go to the polls and say, well, you know, I don't know what they stand for. I don't know what they... Yeah, you do, because you heard what they said. But what we don't do sometimes is we don't hold people accountable for the promises that they make. Nas said something earlier. Matter of fact, okay, we were joking about it earlier, but seriously, sometimes when somebody runs for office, whether it be governor, president, senator, congressman, assemblyman, councilman, whatever, mayor, whatever, people say what they believe you want to hear in order for you to vote for them. But when it comes right down to it, when it comes down to fulfilling the promises that you made, you forget. Sometimes it is depicted, and sometimes I believe this to be true, that you have two different parties. You have the Democrats, you have the Republicans. For African Americans, if you're a Republican, you don't exist. So they feel that blacks are not going to vote for them anyway, so why should you do anything to benefit them? You know, we have a whole cross-section of Americans who are fearful of the black planet. I won't repeat that again. Fearful of the black planet. So anything that goes anti-Negro, we're going to go all the way, and we're going to make sure that we get that very hardcore Southern Baptist Christian white vote. But they are fearful of the black planet. I mean, I have never seen such, but they now call it the Tea Party, might I add. We have a whole group of people who are so fearful of the President of the United States, not because of the title that he holds, not because of the party that he represents, but because of the race that he happens to belong to. And this is where all this is motivated from. They were willing to shut down the government, literally.
Well, they did.
For what? I mean, for what exactly? Because they're afraid of Obamacare? Well, technically speaking, Obamacare, which is the Affordable Health Care Act, is really nothing more than what Mitt Romney put into practice in the state of Massachusetts. It's just on a larger scale. The state of Massachusetts did not blow up when everybody in Massachusetts got health care. Last time I looked, the Boston Red Sox just won the World Series last week, or this past week. So since it didn't blow up, obviously they must be doing something right. So the ability to make sure that every human being, despite of their pre-existing condition, despite of their economic standing, has the opportunity to be able to go to a physician, to be able to get preventive health care instead of, oh my God, something's wrong, you got to go to the emergency room. The emergency room shouldn't be used as a doctor's office, where you go to the emergency room. Has any of y'all ever gotten a bill from going to the hospital?
Yeah.
Where you're like $100 for an aspirin.
That's ridiculous. Don't get me started on the pharmacy and the pharmaceutical trade and the special interest groups. That's a whole nother topic we can get into. That's a whole nother thing. that's by design. Now, I can go in on that one.
But see, that's what this bill pretty much just takes the legs out from under. Because if health care becomes affordable for anybody, if everybody, this changes the whole landscape of the game.
And it exactly, and I think that I, you know, just as you want to chime in on that, I, you know, this and that, you know, with these politicians that getting, I call it, these special funding for the campaign by getting them in office and stuff like that, these special interest groups, pharmaceutical companies, they're giving, let's say, politician A, maybe $2 million just for the campaign or just for, hey, donations or whatever, because he gets in. If they sway more votes or whatever to get a bill passed or certain things that is going to go with certain regulations and passing certain pharmaceutical drugs, it all comes about the money. So, yeah, so this Obama thing is messing up a lot of pockets. Because so now you kind of question the game a little bit on the special interest groups in the pharmaceutical field, you know, trying to keep their certain politicians in play. And then you give affordable health, now you're hurting their pockets and their money coming in.
Exactly.
There's something similar. I mean, it just sounds like a big hustle to me, but I'm just looking at it from a street term.
It is. That's exactly what it is. Same thing with the gun lobby. I mean, to outlaw assault ban weapons. What are you hunting with a Uzi? Can somebody believe tell me that? I have never seen anybody hunt a deer with a Uzi.
Mm-hmm.
I never seen nobody hunt an elk with an
Uzi. But it would be kind of impressive, to tell you the truth. I want to see that personally.
You know,
animal rights people, you want
to know where folks will want to revoke getting, at least having people have assault ban weapons? It's when we, once again, the field black plant, when the black man legally joins the NRA, legally gets their gun licenses and legally start stocking up on automatic weapons. I bet you the band will go in so fast it'll make your head spin.
No, they don't want that. They don't want to do that.
I know they don't.
Yeah, so now you're telling, you know, black people, arm yourselves correctly and do it correctly. Yeah, they would shut things down. Like, no, we can't have this.
Absolutely. But see, as long as they believe that the concentrated violent crimes are happening in urban communities, nobody cares. We can shoot each other from here to China. Nobody will say anything about assault weapon bans and registration of gun weapons and being able to go down south and bringing guns up north until that poor incident that happened to those poor children in Connecticut, in which, you know, condolences to them and their families. Also those in Aurora, Colorado, at the movie theater that had the same type of ugly incident where a deranged person goes in and starts shooting up the place. Matter of fact, today at LAX there was some sort of thing with a guy with a gun and, you know, just shooting up the place. Once again, I've never seen anybody hunt an animal with a Uzi. So why make it easier for those who smuggle guns in this country that participate in these type of violent crimes? So, I mean, the things that President Obama has endured, the things that President Obama wants to do with his presidency, says nothing more but to improve the quality of life of most Americans, except for those who directly benefit, like the NRA or the pharmaceutical companies and things of that nature. You know, big money wants to support big money. If you make a lot of money, do you want to pay your fair share taxes? No. No, of course you don't. You want to save as much money as you possibly can. I never seen a rich man get rich by giving away money. And that's their philosophy. You know, I can't have enough. No matter how much I got. If I got $10 million, I want $20 million. If I got $20 million, I want $40 million. If I want $40 million, I want $1 billion. It is enough. Meanwhile, there are people who literally don't know where their next meal's coming from. I know folks are working 2-3 jobs just to be able to be broke. That's why also the state of New Jersey, the second question on the ballot is raising the minimum wage from $7.25 to $8.25. Y'all, it is time to make sure that we raise this minimum wage. You got people trying to raise families off of $7.25 an hour in New Jersey, one of the most expensive states in the United States. It is darn near impossible to work 40 hours making $7-something an hour. And, you know, support yourself by yourself, let alone, you know, you have 2 kids and you by yourself. You know, these types of things where, you know, you shouldn't have to, you know, put it on the ballot. This is something that the governor should want to do. But our governor doesn't. Why? Because he tends to protect the interests of the rich. Why? Because that's the party that he's affiliated with. I mean, I understand he's playing the game. But this ain't no game. This is about people's actual lives. I mean, in a way, I admire Chris Christie in a lot of ways. We're a lot alike. We're both Mets fans. We're both Knicks fans. We're both Cowboy fans. We both like a good meal. You can tell that for sure. But, and we both can be a bully from time to time, from what I understand. But the difference lies in the fact that, see, I care about my people. I look out for my people. You know, whether, I mean, if you were my friend 30 years ago, you're my friend today.
Mm-hmm.
If you became my friend yesterday, you're going to be my friend 30 years from now. Plain and simple. Loyalty means a lot to me. Loyalty to my community means a lot to me. Seeing somebody go without when they don't have to, that bothers me. Seeing people left in the dark for no apparent reason when you know where the light switch is makes no sense. The thing is, a lot of us who have the ability to chip in their own way, sometimes don't, because they don't want to get mixed up in the middle of it. It's a bunch of BS, a whole bunch of crap, you know, so I don't want to be involved. Me personally, I can't look at it that way. Me personally, I look at it as, you know, if me, you know, and I know how to get it for you, I'm going to get it for you. If you need, and I, you know, I might not know how to put it, but I know who to ask. I'm going to ask for you. See, the fact of the matter is, I help you if you help me. It makes our trip up the hill a lot easier.
Okay.
I mean, you're saying it makes our trip a lot easier.
I have a question for you, Daryl. All right, we're talking about politics. We're talking about responsibility. And it's just the whole aspect of politicians in general. Now,
right.
I don't know. I hear people saying, okay, I'm Democrat, I'm Republican, I'm independent, all the jazz. I mean, I don't know. Call me stupid and stuff like that. You know, they say you're black, you got to vote Democrat. My thing is, honestly, just real talk, I don't really give a damn what party you with. If you're doing the right thing for your community and you're about effective change and action, to me, just personally, it's just, I mean, I just want the right person in the damn office. I mean,
right.
You know, if you're in position, I don't give a damn what you're claiming, you know. You claim blood for all I care for. I mean, but if you're about positive change and action and you're trying to truly help a community and be a part of it, not just throw a bunch of, excuse my language, a bunch of bullshit at people, like you said earlier, just tell people what they want to hear to get in the office and not being held accountable or responsible. I mean, that's just my take, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot of listeners also that can agree with me on this one. You know, we just want the right person, because politics sometimes to the person that's not in that type of, what I call it, who is not as knowledgeable about the infrastructure and all of the jazz, they just want the white person to, you know, cut to the bullshit, you know, look, man, let's keep it real. You know, oh, I never smoked drugs before, I never did this, man.
I want to know, if, listen, I don't mind if my politician or the person representing me, you know, and I effed up before. Yeah, I smoked the L before. But it did let me to do the wrong thing. I want to see the human side of them. I want to know the human side of that person. You know, I want to know that they have flaws. I don't need nobody throwing smoke up my ass about, hey, listen, you know, this is what I am. I had the perfect stellar career. I never cheated on a test. You're human, bro, or whatever you are. You know, you're human. I want to hear the human facts. I don't like people, especially politics, they just throw this, I live this perfect life. I was born to be politician. You know, come on now, man. I want to hear the dirt of what you do. I'm going to be real because you're dealing with people that struggle every single day. Whether in the white community, black community, you know, and that's just my take. I'm not into the parties per se, you know.
Right.
I do lean the Democratic times because, unfortunately, we have more the people that's Democrat trying to help our people. Now, I ran to the Republicans. They said Republican, but they're the ones out there. There's some cats I know that's out in the streets, so they're out in the community. They're out there trying to make effective change and help people. I mean, generally help people in their situation, whether it's taxes, property taxes, whether, hey, look, we need to get a community center over here. This is what we need to do to help our youth out. I mean, just those are the people I want to talk to. I mean, what's the big deal now? I mean, I understand they're trying to get this bipartisan, if I'm saying it correct.
Right.
Trying to unify these different parties. I mean, why are we so stuck on Democrat, Republican, Tea Party? Even though Tea Party, some of those cats, they're funny to me because they want to shut down the whole damn government, but that's a whole other issue. But, I mean, why are we so stuck on this instead of just trying to put the right person? Why can't a person just say, look, this is what I am? I mean, do we have to be like this as a community and society? Do we have to be stuck on this Democrat, Republican crap? Really?
Well, here we go. If you look at it locally, like, you know, you look at your local elections, it's like mayor, councilman, stuff like that. A lot of municipalities don't have primaries. It's just a general election. Like in the town that me and you grew up in, Orange just has one election for its council and for its mayor. That's in May. It's, you know, it's not you a Democrat. It's not you a Republican. It's just you. It's you and your ticket, which is the people that you're running with, you know, trying to get in that office and do that thing. That's what that is. Now, as you go up the ladder, like governor and president and senator and congressman and all that jazz, all right, is broken down into two different parties because each party has two different philosophies of, you know, what works. For the Republicans, their philosophy is, well, actually, now it's like three parties. The Republican Party is split in two. One half is Tea Party, the other half are moderate Republicans. Now, let me deal with the Tea Party. The Tea Party only came into existence when the fear of the Black Planet took over.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So when the Black Planet took over, those jokers just flipped their mind. You know, it's like, you know, now the government's coming to destroy us. Now we've gone so far to the left. Now they got one of them in the White House. They're trying to give them all stuff, and we got to stop them by any means necessary. So, yeah, they're willing to shut down the government. They're willing to sabotage everything and anything in order to make sure that that black man fails. Their whole mission rests and rides on what happened with Barack Obama. I actually wonder what the Tea Party is going to do in 3 years when Obama is gone. Because, you know, what you going to aim at now? Because he's done. He's done his thing. He was president for 8 years. There's nothing else for him to do as far as politically in this country. I mean, it's it. That's all. So, you know, what are you going to do? You know, wait to see if Cory Booker runs for president? You know, that's the only thing I can think that you got to do. Because I don't, you know, you got to wait for, you know, who's the next prominent nigger coming up the pack. That's the only thing that I can see them doing. Because I cannot say that their argument makes any sense on any level of what they're fighting for. It doesn't make any sense. If it if it is, if it's women, if it's blacks, if it's Latinos, if it's gays. I've never seen a group of people go out of their way to alienate everybody else. I mean, it seems like it's a party for progressive old white men. If you're progressive, old, and white, that's your party, the Tea Party. Everything else is a bit different. Now, just the regular old Republican Party, it's very simple. It's about dollars and cents. It's about taking as much money as you possibly can for the rich. It's like this, to break it down real simply. All right. Everybody pays, let's say 10%, you know, as far as the taxes go. 10% across the board. No matter how rich you are, how poor you are, it's 10% across the board. Well, 10% for that family that only makes, let's say, $30,000 a year, you know, that'll cripple them because they're only making $30,000 a year. But 10% for somebody that makes $300 million, well, it's not doing anything to them. But if you increase the tax rate for those who have more and decrease the tax rate for those who have less, that's fair as far as their quality of life. That's a Democrat's point of view. So it's two economic points of view that are rudimentarily opposed. Democrats have a tendency to care more about the quality of life of individuals, where the Republican Party cares more about the bottom line of fiscal responsibility, no matter what the personal cost is to human life for suffering. That's the difference between the two parties. So you claim yourself Democrat, you know, you're trying to look out for what's in the common good of the electorate. So, like, I'm just trying to look out for what's in your best interest. Now, if I'm Republican, what I'm saying is this. All right, what's in your best interest is that I'm going to save you every dollar that I possibly can. Despite what else, trust me, the money is going to be there. You feel me? No matter what. The more money you got, the more you're going to get. The less money you got, oh, well, you need to do something better to get rich. What you want me to tell you? Because my job is to protect the money. So if you're rich, I mean, I have much respect for those people who are wealthy, who are Democrats, because really, you're saying that, okay, my responsibility is to be my brother's keeper. Because the Republican Party is going to protect your money. They're going to make sure every dime that's in your pocket stays in your pocket and make some of these poor folks pay for a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. But the whole thing is their backs are against the wall. You know, I mean, like I say, they have no health care. They, you know, like I say, the ability to go to school is difficult. They make every way possible for one to improve their quality of life harder and harder and harder and harder. And that's what their attempt is and that's what their goal is. It's a sad commentary. Now, I mean, I would love it if, you know, a Republican would come chime in and, you know, let's have the conversation on it. But for the most part, that's what the situation is. That's how they choose to get down. You know, as far as individuals, I agree with you now, is that you have to be able to speak your mind. You need to be able to be real with people. It's a lot easier to do it on a local election from the standpoint of they're your neighbor. You know who it is. You know, if you're running for mayor of a town, a lot of people need to know who you are. I don't have a lot. I'm kind of mistrusting it. Like, you know, you live in a town, you know, you live there your whole life, and this cat who didn't live in town. You never heard of him before. You don't own a business in town. None of his people live in town. You know, he just moved into town, you know, registered to vote there, you know, ran for mayor, becomes mayor, and, you know, hooks all his people up and, you know, don't give a flying crap about those who live here. That bothers me. That bothers me to no end. Because, you know, you're doing this just to take advantage of a situation.
But, you know, that same analogy, you know, that's why you have a lot of the average people that have that distrust for certain politicians because some of the tactics like that. I mean, you know, I just think at a point that we have to try to get the, how you call it, the average Joe more knowledgeable about what happens in politics so they can understand who they vote for and stuff like that. I mean, that's, I don't know, maybe I'm just looking at it from the average Joe standpoint. You know, that person is able to talk to and relate to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I don't need you just, you know, just talking to me and tell me what you think I want to hear. You know, I want, you know, come on, you know, chop it up with me. You know, let's just talk.
Right. And I mean, that's the thing. Like, for, like, say, locally. I mean, because, say, the higher up you go, it becomes a little bit more complex. Like, if you're, like, okay, for an example, Barbara Bodo and Chris Christie, they're running for governor of the state. So, I mean, you know, there's like a million people in the state of New Jersey. You know, that's just a lot of heads, you know, to be communicating with. I mean, you can go places to make speeches and whatever, but that interpersonal dialogue, that really is not going to happen too often based upon the fact of how much territory you got to cover in such a short amount of time. You know, you don't know no million people. You know, how many people do you really know? So, but if you talk about, you know, locally, you know, like, you know, you run it for mayor, you run it for council, like in East Orange right now, East Orange, New Jersey, they're having it on the same day, November 7th, is the general election. They have, their election is by party, Democrat and Republican. And election day is on Tuesday. You know, a lot of those people, whether it be Ted Green, a lot of people know Ted Green, Chris James. I know Chris very well. He's a cool brother. You know, there's Tashani Cooper. There is Lester Taylor, who's running against Kevin Taylor for mayor. Kevin Taylor's running a writing candidate because he feels that Lester Taylor is a carpetbagger, a.k.a. the dude just strolled into town, registered to vote, you know, got the machine behind him to put him in office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I say, Kevin Taylor's lived in East Orange for years and years, and, you know, he's been pushing at it, trying to become mayor for, I think this is his second attempt. Maybe it's third, but I do believe it's his second. So, you know, the people of East Orange will, you know, make that decision and make that call. But, you know, I do feel that, you know, you need to know a brother. You know, you need to know
him.
You know, I mean, the bottom line, like a lot of the people, I could say, like in Orange and in their city council, you know, I know these cats. You know, you know, I know the South Ward councilman. I don't live in the South Ward, but I do know him. He's my cousin. You know, Donna Williams, who's the councilman at large, who's the council president. I've known Donna for years. We grew up on the same street. You know, like a lot of these cats, I've known for years and I've known for a while through this, through that, sometimes through politics. Sometimes it's just, you know, I've known you as, you know, we're coming up, you know, or you older than me, but I've known you for years. So there's that familiarity. I know who you are. You know, cats running against you, I should know who you are. You know, we should know each other. We should be, you know, we're neighbors. We've grown up in the same community. We should be talking the same language. You should have the same understanding of what's going on that I do. You know, like, this is what's going on my block. Now, what might be going on my block might not be going on in your block. But I need to care about what happens on your block because guess what? What's happening on your street today might be happening on my street tomorrow. So I need to be dialed in. I need to know. So,
hey, Darryl, brother Darryl, I want you guys to continue the conversation. I'm going to go to the next room. I'm going to continue to keep you guys on. I'm doing something also in this other office here. Continue the conversation. I'm going to stay tuned. I definitely want to hear Eddie because I know Eddie has a beautiful perspective in some of our politics and is how they deal with the everyday people. And I really want to hear him as well. So you guys continue on. I'm going to chime back in. Like, give me about 5 minutes.
Okay, that's cool. Matter of fact, Ed, let me ask you, because, okay, in a lot of instances, like I said, I don't feel that regular people like me and you, like just ordinary Joes,
uh-huh.
get involved in politics because of all the red tape and bullshit that goes along with it. You know, so, I mean, what's your opinion?
I don't get involved with politics because the same reason why I don't get involved with anything else that seems to, in my mind, convince me that it's controlling my destiny or my fate. I think I do need to learn more about politics, but my goals in my life don't revolve around what the government is going to do. So I'm more of a, I guess, self-made person, if you will. There's no job that's going to tell me how I got to do stuff. And any job that I worked at or have done, it's give me an objective. I'll meet the objective, but don't tell me how to do it.
Right.
And if I don't like it or when I get to the point that I don't like doing what I'm doing because my life is revolved around me being happy or having a peace about myself or being true to myself, I'll leave or I'll make decisions that shift me to where I want or feel I need to be. So with that being said, I don't think about it. I live my life without the concern or worrying about other people dictating what my lifestyle is going to be. I'm the type of person, if I don't like what my income is, I'll do what I have to do to create a better one. And I think we need to get more of that mindset instead of thinking that the government has to do. We need to figure out what can we do to create for ourselves. And that's just the way that my mind works, which I think for the most part prevents me from getting into that what was me or they don't care about us, because I personally don't think it's anybody else's job to care about me or my family but me. That's just me. That's my mentality. I'm not trying to force that mentality on anyone else. But I think if I depend on you to make my life good or bad, then you dictate how I work, how I move, how I live, how I make my decisions, and I'm just not for that. I have to live by your rules. It's kind of like, you know, living. I hear people complain about their situation. I can't stand this girl or I can't stand this guy, but you don't have a job or you're not working or you're not doing anything. So you're forced to live with those rules. Or being disrespected because of your situation. You haven't put yourself in a predicament where you have options. And if you think about, like, when it comes to abusive relationships and stuff like that, the first thing they do is try to isolate you or feel or put you in a predicament where you need them. And I kind of equate it the same way. If I feel I need the government to do this or I need the president to do this, then I have to wait until they make the right decisions or for them to do what they say they were going to do before I voted them into office in order for me to live my life. And I'm just not that type of person to allow someone else's decisions or moves to determine my life, period, especially when I believe in somebody higher than me. So that's just my take.
Amen on that. But I would say it like this. All right. Government is more of a trickle-down situation. Like, okay, for an example, you're right. I don't feel, and this is just me and you just kicking in and just everybody
yeah.
happens to be listening to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't believe that, and I agree with you 110%, that no individual, no politician, not a mayor or a councilman or a governor or president or whatever, is going to dictate or, you know, what they do dictates what I do as far as my livelihood, things of that nature. What I need to do for me. I'm 1,000% on that. But this is how that politics and government, more government, affects our lives. if you're in an area that has a high crime area, you need to hire more police. Well, you need more money to hire more police. Well, who makes the decision on how the budget is spent and allocated in order to make our neighborhood safer? Politicians. Bottom line.
And that's going off of that mindset and that perspective. If I live in a high crime neighborhood, my thought process is not get more police. My thought process is, why are we thinking and acting this way, and what do I do to convince the people to act a different way? And if we act a different way and become a different culture, or put in place like mentoring or education facilities where we can grow in a more harmonious way, then we don't need, then our crime rate goes down and we don't need the police. So my strategies would be different from yours. So yours would be more, in my mind, putting a Band-Aid on a situation and causing more violence, because the people that are causing the violence usually don't like the police, so they get more upset or more rowdy. And then you have the whole situation that you all have now with New York, with the whole stop and frisk, different things like that, that cause people to get more upset and more frustrated in the back and forth. So my whole thing is to reach out to the people, cause us to create relationships that cause us to want to do for each other, which in turn will better the community, better our environment, better our awareness, and then we won't need to spend money on the police, and we just all help each other out, because the crime and stuff usually comes or stems from jealousy or lack. So if we're helping each other, there goes the lack and there goes the jealousy, because we're all trying to uplift and help one another. But that's not the case. Everybody is keeping what they have because they don't think they can get more. So when you have more that you're keeping than I do, and I'm lacking, I want what you got, which causes jealousy. I'm not even sharing with you. But if we all become a community, like we say we are, or the word expresses, then we won't have all that stuff. So my thing would be to attack the minds and the perspectives of the people to help us to grow in a more harmonious way, which in turn will decrease the violence, because we're intentionally loving on one another and helping each other, to where we don't need to envy each other or hate on each other and steal or kill each other. So then with that, I don't need the government or the politics or whatever, because we just took our community back, one person, which in turn turns into one neighborhood and one group, or one community at a time. So
my
mind is pretty good.
Like I said, but here we go. You need a fair balance of all of the above. I mean, I just use police as a microcosm. You need recreation centers. You need to expand school hours. You need to have more of a budget in education. With better education comes better opportunities. I mean, there are certain things that are in place in a structure that either complement or take from your community. It either adds to the community or it takes away from the community. And those things and those decisions are made by other folks. It can either be made of those or like minds. I've always said you cannot legislate morality, but you sure want your legislators to be moral. So you're either with the program or you're not with the program. You're either are for positive change in your community, or you are not. Now, if somebody is, let's say, against building a better community, and they are rudimentarily opposed to it, and they work diligently for what they feel is in their best interest, then this just makes anything that's done, especially on a community level, even harder. I mean, the whole thing is you need to galvanize a community. You need to inspire a community. You have to be able to You need to be one with your community. And, I mean, like I said, I give you all the credit in the world. You do a wonderful job of it, you know, not just talking it, but actually living it. I believe that we all should, you know, in our own ways, in the ways that we can, do that. We all have different strengths. We all have different talents where we can lend to a process. But we have to add to it instead of to detract from it. And I feel that a lot of times, you know, politicians don't get that. I think a lot of times people want to be in the office for the sake of being in office, to be able to say that I am such and such, or I am so and so.
They're making money in those offices. So I think a lot of it has to do with livelihood and power and control. But I also think where we fall short, I mean, there's locations that do have the rec centers and all that stuff like that, and the community just kills that and ruins that. I think where we fall short is the fact that we think mentally and we're even
Ed? Either I can't hear you or no one can hear me online. I don't know which is going on, but this is Shadow Worlds Radio Network. Ed?
Who can hear? Hello?
Zig?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know whether we're online or Eddie's offline, because Eddie's the host.
I don't know. It seemed like, I don't know, wait 1 second. I'll tell you. 1 second. It seems like, it faded out like he muted himself.
Edward? Okay. Like I said, this is the Shadow Worlds Radio Network. This is the Man Up Talk Show.
I don't know
why. Okay, we're experiencing some technical difficulties. Edward will be back online in a moment. So, Sig, darling, give us your perspective, sweetheart.
Oh my God, I hate talking politics. I do agree with that. I am not a staunch Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, none of that.
Right.
I vote the issues. If you are standing on the platform and I believe in what you're saying, more so than your opponent, because nobody's going to be in 100% agreement with you unless you're the person running, then
right. That's
who I'm going to vote for. It's about the issues, and part of the problem with people voting is it's not that they don't know anything about the candidates one way or the other. They have no idea what they stand for. And so people get in office, and then they're not held accountable, and they get in office and forget what they promised, and they have their own agenda, and they chase their own agenda.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I apologize, you all.
What?
Yeah, I apologize. I lost my line. I'm back. I apologize. I heard exactly what you said. I agree with you, Sig. What I was saying before I dropped my call was the issue that I think that we have is that the mindset that if people know better, they would do better. That is so far from the truth. and we try to throw education without doing what it takes to shift the desire, because the desire is what eventually makes the decision. You think about it. You have people that's dying of cancer because they're smoking. They know that it's not good for their health, but the desire for the nicotine or the want for the sex or whatever it is that your desire is what causes you to make the decision that you make. And people could know that stealing is wrong. People could know violence is wrong, but when you're talking about you killed my homie or my family member, and I know it's wrong to kill, but my desire to get revenge is going to overpower that
the knowing, that's what causes people to change, and that's what I work on. I work on people and helping them shift their perspective on which in turn will shift their desire when it comes to certain issues and things like that. And we just throwing up a rec center is not going to help. Just talking to people is not going to help if they don't feel that you really are genuinely for them or what have you. And also not getting to the point of shifting their desire to want better or consider that their situation isn't as good as they think it is going to cause them to remain the same way that they are.
I mean, I think you have to deal with the prepared mind. Now, for some people, you're right. You have to dig deep because they're not coming willingly. Let me put it to you this way. And in some instances, I don't care what you do or what you say, they are determined to self-destruct anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't nothing you can do about it. It is what it is. But for some people, they just need a chance. They just need an opportunity. Like, I could shoot the ball all day long. I could drop it all day long. But if you don't get me the rock, I can't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you hold this ball and you do not pass me the rock, then I'm telling you, I'm open and I can drop this shot all day. There's not much for me to do. But if you get me the rock and you get me the opportunity, it's the opportunity, I can make it happen. For a lot of us, all we need is an opportunity, a chance. That's it. One chance, one shot. Not asking for, $1 million, not asking for, free housing, whatever the case. I'm not asking for any of that. What I'm asking for is an opportunity to succeed. What our children need is an opportunity to succeed. What some of our brothers need when they're coming back home from making negative decisions, for some of them, it is an opportunity to break free from what has gripped them in the past. You need an opportunity. And in some instances, that opportunity can come based upon a program that was initiated by this policy or that policy. Now, I mean, can it come grassroots? Absolutely. Positively. Can it come from the church? Absolutely. Positively. Can it come from grants and government funding? Absolutely. Positively. And sometimes, can it come from all of the above? Absolutely. Positively. It's about giving people the greatest opportunity to be able to break free from whatever grips them by any means necessary.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. Let's put it this way. I'm gonna put it like this. Our stimulus. The real stimulus spending. Like when they did all the bailouts and everything like that. They
right.
came up to about $2.5 trillion in
right.
2008. We don't even have that many people in the United States, okay? So you're telling me if we just gave $1 million to every individual in the United States, with thus giving them a chance, everybody would be okay?
No, because not necessarily money is your wealth.
Exactly.
Not everybody's money. Like I said, I said an opportunity. I didn't say money.
Okay,
yeah,
wait.
Go ahead.
Wait a minute. Okay, but the opportunity exists. People
exactly.
don't grasp it. People
exactly.
don't get involved outside of their little noses. If it goes past the tip of their nose, they don't care. So it's not that the opportunity does not exist. Let's be honest. We as people, as Americans living in the United States of America, not just black people, white people, purple
uh-huh.
people, pink people, every
yeah.
freaking body, lazy. You put
uh-huh.
people in office. The worst thing I hate is when they have a committee for this and a committee for that. Somebody's getting paid. My tax dollars are going up. Okay, fine. But government should not tell me that my child needs to eat healthier in school.
Yeah.
They want everything governed. Everything. We live in a democracy. No, the hell we don't. We just live a bunch of lazy people that want people to get in office, and we really don't care who because everybody don't vote.
True.
And they don't care about the issues because we want, we have become complacent, and we want to be told what to do. And then we are not happy about it. Instead of doing something actively at that moment, because it did just touch home, I mean, this was reduced in your neighborhood, this happened in your community, do you go to the town meetings? No, because you don't have time. Because it's more important for you to watch Scandal, good show anyway, than it is for you to go to that town meeting. You make every excuse in the book. But then you sit back and wonder why this area is doing so much better. Those people care about where they live. They care about who they put in office. They keep their representatives accountable to them. And then until we learn to do that as a society, we're going to constantly be sitting here having people, like, I'm serious. When I look at the racist going on in Virginia, both of them are slinging mud. Both of them have done things there in bed with the wrong people. Really, can I get a different candidate? That's how I feel. So if I'm going to sit and don't let anything go past the tip of my nose, and all I care about is I live in America, I can go buy as many pairs of Jimmy Choo's as I want to, I got a problem. I have a problem. Because I'm not caring about anything else. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Do I need to care about my community? Yes. And the neighboring community. Because like you said, if it happens right next door to you, it can happen to you too.
Right.
People don't care. People refuse to get active and get involved, but they want to complain about government. But we're the reason why government sucks the way it does now. We don't hold them accountable or make them do anything. Some of that crap that they have is ridiculous. When they did that parcel shutdown, what the hell is a non-essential employee? If you're non-essential for a shutdown because they don't want to pay your salary, are you really that important? I recommend everybody who was a non-essential employee to find another job.
And
they can send you home anytime they want to because they're having a little dick war. That's bullshit.
Well, I mean, absolutely. Now, I mean, if this is a different, well, I want to add something to that. Now, one, the next time that you want to shut something down, I always say that a leader truly leads from front, from the front. I never, ever see a leader. I never saw a leader lead from behind. I've seen a director direct from behind or a dictator or a manager. I've never seen a leader lead from behind. The word in its context means that you're in the front. You are providing the example for which you want others to follow. You're leading. Now, a lot of these people are not leaders. They're not necessarily, they want people to do certain things, but they're not willing to roll up their sleeves and do it themselves. Now, you're right. A lot of people do not want to be inconvenienced. A lot of people are lazy. But I know a lot of people who aren't, present company included. I don't see any of us as being lazy. Now, our priorities might be different. Like me, will I go to a city council meeting at the drop of a dime? Do I know who represents me? Absolutely. Do I know them on a personal first-name basis and can call them on the telephone and bitch and moan my little heart out? Absolutely. Positively. Is everybody like me? Hell no. But do I? Absolutely. I believe in holding somebody accountable. If you say that you're going to do X, Y, and Z, I hold you accountable for X, Y, and Z. I don't hold you accountable for what somebody else said or what somebody else did, but I do hold you accountable for what you say and for what you do. And I expect you to hold me in the same. If I tell you I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and I don't, by all means, come to me. Put it on me because I didn't do it for whatever reason. And let's talk about it. Let's put it out there on the table. Some people, like I said, to lead, you have to be willing to be in the front, and you have to be willing to go through whatever is necessary in order to provide the change that you want to happen. You have to, that change has to start with you as an individual. It doesn't start by somebody else. It needs to start with you. It has to be you first. And then from you, then you deal with your house. Then after you deal with your house, you deal with your street. As you deal with your street, deal with your block. As you deal with your block, deal with your community. Now, in what manner you choose to do that, I think that's an individual basis. Some people do it through their church. Some people start up nonprofits. Some people do it through political channels. Some people wind all that sucker up into a bow and they just run it whichever way that they run it. I think it's an individual preference. As long as, like I say, if your heart is in the right place and that you are trying to, if you're trying to be the improvements that in which that you feel is necessary to be made. Now, not necessarily is everybody going to agree with you all the time. Nobody's going to agree with you all the time. Just like you're not going to agree with anybody else all the time. But the whole key is that everybody is dedicated to what is in the overall good of the community as a whole. That's why politics is so damn difficult, based upon the fact that you have a bunch of people, some who are looking to serve their own best interests, and then there are some who are just serving to nature, and they're looking to do. They're always looking to do. They're always looking to improve. They're always looking to take something to a next level, a little bit higher, a little bit higher. Like I said, some people choose different venues and different vantage points in doing such. Is politics everybody's thing? Absolutely not. Is church necessarily everybody's thing? I think it should be, but is it? No, not really. I mean, I've always noticed that, like, a lot of folks will make moral comments about what should and what shouldn't, but don't take the time to get into that Bible. Don't take the time to get into the Quran. Don't take the time to be in church, to be in worship, to be that example. But they're real quick to point a finger at somebody else and say, well, what they ain't doing or what they should be doing or what this family should be doing or what that one should be doing. Nah, I mean, personally, I don't have the time for all that. I don't have the time to judge you, because who am I to judge you? My thing is to love you and to support you. If I have something to say to you, it is out of love. It's out of concern. It's not out of, you know, being judgmental, because I don't have that right or that wherewithal. But we need to be able to move an agenda forward, whether it be a political agenda, whether it be a social agenda, whether it be a ministry's agenda. But the overall common good has to come out is, am I my brother's keeper? In my opinion, in some people's instance, no, it has nothing to do with it. In my opinion, it has everything to do with it. Like I said, it's subjective. But, Sid, I give you all the credit in the world as far as saying this. Most people have become lazy and have become complacent. It's like when the civil rights movement ended in, like, when Martin and Malcolm and everybody died in the 60s, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we got the Civil Rights Voting Act and this, that, and the other thing. We've overcome. Yay. We can move wherever we want to. Segregation comes. We can live wherever we want to. You know, everything is obtainable by purchase. You know, if I could buy a pair of Jordans, I'm happy. If I could buy a Louis Vuitton, I'm happy. If I can take my family to Disney World, I'm happy. A lot of us have equated happiness into something that's material or materialistic. When our fathers and our fathers' fathers, we understood what was important was the nucleus of our family. It was about pride in what. We put a video up the other day with T.D. Jakes stating that we used to take pride in what we did, in what we accomplished, in what we created. But nowadays, the only thing that we have pride in is in what we obtain or what we purchase. And that's very true. That's very true for the most part. Not everybody. But for the most part, that's very true. We don't look at what it is we can do. We look at what we can have without putting anything in it. I mean, basically, I don't know of anybody who can go to the bank and make a withdrawal if they never made any deposits. If you don't put anything in, how can you receive anything out? I believe that we need to work harder in putting things in. And, I mean, that's, like I said, no matter what the structure is, like tonight we're talking about politics, but this conversation could go about a great many things that we've become complacent about. One of the main reasons we started this show and have this show in the first place is because men have lost their rights, point blank, and don't know no better. Why? Because of laziness, because of complacency, because of neglect. All of these things, you know, combined together in creating the situation that we're in now. Well, you know, we have to be willing to be that change that we want to see. So that's just my opinion on it. Edward, are you there?
I'm here. I am here. As far as that T.D. Jakes thing, what I think a lot of people miss in what he said was we don't create or do anything. We're making everyone else rich off of their creations. We're not using our own minds to create. I mean, we can do all day. A lot of problems, a lot of issues is the thought process of doing is what makes you successful. There's a lot of people that's doing a lot, but it's not productive. It's not just enough to do. You need to be doing with a purpose and strategically, and it needs to be productive. We got a lot of people that's just doing a whole bunch of stuff, and because they're doing a whole bunch of stuff, they feel busy, and they feel like they're important, but they're really not doing anything. They're really wasting their time. So we have to be intentional, and we should be creating our own stuff that our own people and others as well will be willing to invest in. And like you said, in my brother's keeper, what are we doing to create stuff that will better the people? And that's my whole mission. And anything that I do is about bettering my people and creating. So I'm not trying to work for people and create someone else's fortune or build someone else's fortune by working hard and then hoping that they don't get rid of me. I'm trying to create my own fortune so that I can bless other people while knowing that I still have security in my mind, my ability, and just the people that I've brought with me to sustain myself and themselves to make a better world for everyone else.
So part of that is we don't do things in humility. We do things with a sense of entitlement, as if the world owes us something, and as if what we did is the bee's knees, and that's the end all to be all, and that's not true. We do things and despite our situation, there are people doing a lot of things in spite, meaning I'm just going to do this to get back at this person so I can prove that I'm better than them. For what? We within our own community have these little wars going on, and everybody thinks that's cute and all this other crap, and it's not. To try to be, and I'm going to be honest, I agree with what T.D. Jakes said, honestly agree, but like I said, people have been saying it for years, and people will continue to say it for years, because people don't listen. People are not going to listen because people don't want to hear what anybody else really has to say. You can sit up there and create a situation. When I go to beauty supply store, I try to go to a black beauty supply store. I keep trying. It's always an epic fail. Because when I walk in, because the color of my skin is brown, you act like I'm your sister. You're going to stay on the phone and pop your gum in my face and get an attitude if I ask for your help. But if somebody of another race come in, you're going to treat them totally different. I'm not begging you to take my money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else, but you treat me with a certain level of dignity. I treat everybody, I respect the position people hold. I feel like you have that position, you should be able to do it. And we go from there. I would rather, unfortunately, right now, go to this little store where these Asian people are for my beauty supplies. They know more about the product, which boggles my mind, and they're nice as soon as I walk through the door. They're tripping over themselves to help me, not acting like I've just interrupted their day. We do nothing in humility, and we do nothing to gain any recognition, to gain any trust from anyone else.
Mm-hmm. We suck at relationships, and it's a lot, like I said, it's a lot of, I think we're, the predicament we're in has a lot to do with, well, actually, I think majority has to do with selfishness. If we got more selflessness, I think the world would be such a better place, because if you think about it, if you are selfish and you're only thinking about you, you're the only person that got you. But if you're not selfish and you think about others, everybody's thinking about everybody else, it's a whole bunch of other people thinking about you. But if you only think about yourself, the only person you got that got your back is really you. But if we all start thinking about each other, everybody will have, it'll be so many other people that are thinking about you and got your back and taking care of you, and we can grow from that. But when you're selfish, it reminds me of that that picture. It reminds me of a picture that I remember seeing. Welcome back, Nas, by the way. Many years ago, where the people had their arms were actually spoons, so they couldn't bend at the elbow, and everyone had soup in front of them, but they were all starving because no one thought to put their spoon in someone else's bowl and feed each other. They never ate, and they died of starvation because they couldn't get their spoon to go to their bowl and then up to their mouths because they didn't have elbows to bend. Their whole arm was a spoon. But had they thought to feed each other by putting their spoon in someone else's bowl and feeding one another, they could have all eaten, but they all starved to death because they were selfish and they could not figure out how to get the spoon to the mouth because their arms never bent. And that's how the world is. We're so busy trying to think about ourselves, never thinking about anybody else, which causes no one to think about us, and we're starving. Whether it's financially, emotionally, relationally, we're disintegrating because we're mm-hmm. selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has a lot to do with where we are in the world, in the community. It's so many people, it's ridiculous. And I do it just because that's my nature. It's so many people that's so willing to help me. It's hard to accept so many things, but, I mean, I cry at just the sacrifice that people make for me. And it has all to do with them reminding me of the sacrifice that I've made for them that I don't think about because I'm not taking points. I'm not adding stuff up. I just do because I actually genuinely love people and want the best for them. But the reward in that is people start feeling the same way about you. they refuse to let you to see you down or hurting or struggling.
But Brother Eddie, hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Nash. Question, man. Not really a question. I mean, just the statement you said alone, it kind of resonated for me. You know, people want to do things for you because of who you are. I think, you know, it's like you're leaving a legacy. You know what I'm saying? A legacy that when what you do, you know, all the stuff that you've helped people with, you continue helping people with, and people like Dowdy, Zig, and there's many more people that do for other people. They're leaving a legacy. That's why their names still resonate and it still rings, you know, after their death or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that what you do, you leaving a legacy, man, you know. And I have to kind of make a comment on that, brother. I just think it's all the legacy that you're leaving, man. That's why people do the things that they do. You know, like you said, if you're alone, nobody's going to remember you. Nobody's not going to care about you.
You're the only one that care about you. And once you fall short, once you're too weak to care about you, you're done. But if everybody's thinking about everybody else, it's a whole bunch of people thinking about a whole bunch of people. And everybody gets taken care of that way.
It is beautiful.
A lot of people have is, like, I do things for people and they don't know I did it. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
It's about how much credit you give get for that or whatever, it's about, that was put on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I got enough stuff to answer for. I got to work for my heart. And so, and people want to be able to pat their own selves in the back and say, well, you wouldn't have got there if it wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that shuts, part of that, it shuts people down because they're like, what, really? Seriously? You made one phone call for me, and so I owe my whole world to you.
That's sad. Yeah. That's sad. You know, like that. Yeah. That's sad. You know.
Yep.
Actually, those cats made me. They made me goddamn sick.
But that's what actually. That's what caused my pride. That I had. That I used to have such pride in asking for help or whatever, because I never wanted anyone to feel like they had some power over me. But I had to grow and get past that because it keeps you from so many opportunities. So you just have to know your worth, know who you are, and take advantage of opportunities when they present themselves, and just do you. But I have people that literally, if they found out that I had a hardship and I didn't say anything, they're ready to crack me upside my head. It's like, how dare you go through something? And that's love, though. You know what I'm saying? Dig one of them, by the way, too. And it's...
He waits for something to go and go, this happened, and I'm like, a phone call, a text. I'm not one of them people. I hate when somebody say, hey, I need so-and-so, and nigga, you got to ask them 50 questions. I ain't got 50 questions, because number one, I don't want to hear. I don't have 50 questions. I'm working on the plan to help you.
Yeah,
I don't have 50 questions. So that's what cracks me up, and I'm always like, okay, you couldn't ask for a little help?
Yeah.
Put him
at
phone call? No problem.
That's our pride. That's what some of our men have, that pride. We have that pride.
Yeah.
We don't sometimes like to ask help, especially we always help other people.
Yeah. But you miss out. I couldn't be, especially with you all, I couldn't be where I am today without the help of others. And I keep that in mind to prevent me from going back to prideful situation. And if you do any research, there's not a one wealthy person without a team. You cannot find one wealthy person without a team of people that help them to be wealthy. Not a one.
You might see them in the forefront as the wealthy person,
but I guarantee you they have a team behind them that makes them wealthy. And to try to be a man all by yourself, or a woman all by yourself, and know that or think you're gonna be wealthy and successful, you have already failed.
Wow.
Already failed.
You know that's gonna be a topic. You know you just said you said another topic for another show. You know that, right? you did it again.
But you know, it's really a person's them. It's all in presentation. Eddie, the way he presented himself, the way he didn't back down to me, I knew. This is a genuine soul. Good Lord. Glad I stayed up to harass him.
That's beautiful right there. You know, that's a topic, Sig. We got to talk about, you know, surrounding yourself with, you know, you need a good team to, I guess, equate it to success.
You have to surround yourself with, my dad tells everybody that you have to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you in their field.
Yep.
And they have the same vision as you, and they're willing to work with you towards your goal as they work towards theirs. That's always the thing. Build your team. You have to build your team. No man is an island.
No woman is
an island. You may want to be on the island by yourself, but guess what? Somebody got to get you there, and somebody got to bring you food.
That's right. You saw what happened when Tom Hanks ended up on an island. He started creating people through balls and shit. Excuse my language, but... You need communication. You need, like, to keep your sanity. You need it. So, to get out... You saw how he went when Wilson got off that boat, man. He lost his deck on mine. But you need it. You definitely need... and you need to, like... There's so many times where I call Sig, I'm like, yo, I need some motivation. Because it gets hard, man. It gets hard. And you start doubting yourself. You start doubting your abilities.
You need people to talk to and to be around you that are going to motivate you, that are going to keep you focused, that know your passion and will not allow you to quit until you get to where you're supposed to be. Plain
you know
simple.
What you
I pride myself that I'm surrounded by people who believe more in me than I believe in myself because they push me and they refuse to see me as less than anything that God has created me to be.
I told him that when I first met him. You got somewhere to go. I'm not real sure where it's at. I know you got somewhere to go, and I know I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do along the way. But you do. You have to surround yourself with good people, and because you really, really, you will drive yourself crazy. I have days where I shut down and I want to be in the house by myself. Before the end of the day, I got to go talk to somebody.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, because I've been talking to myself all day, and that's a bad crap crazy conversation. I need to go talk to somebody, say.
Yeah. Hello?
You?
Yo. Hey, listen, you got your time getting short.
Yeah.
Yes, it's let's wrap this up. Wait a minute for me.
Because I know he's on the board, that it's dropped by earlier because it'll cut off on him.
And you need to give applause to yourself because you held it down tonight and kept it going.
I don't know. Hey, okay. It'll be short. Y'all hear it? And it's gone.
See, there you go. There you go.
Good. Any closing comments, Naz?
No, I mean, I first of all, I want to thank you. Good job, Brother Edward. They're on the boards. Good job, brother. I mean, I know Sean on fire, but, you know, my closing remarks, honestly, is, you know, I had an opportunity to talk to Dow with, you know, God is, you know, I'm saying this from the heart because sometimes you have to look at yourself and kind of reassess yourself and what you want to do in life. I'm looking at myself to take us along with our team and our, I say, family at this point to another level. Because I'm very proud of being surrounded by strong men and women, and I just feel very blessed. I'm very humble right now. I had the opportunity to really get close with God the last couple of weeks, and I just feel very blessed that I'm surrounded by such positive, strong people that God is moving us to another level. I mean, I talked to Brother Dow about it. We're making some moves, and I'm more hungry now than ever in my whole entire life. And I just want to say thank you to all the listeners, and thank you to Brother Dow, Brother Eddie, Tosh, of course, Sig, just many people behind the scenes. I really appreciate all you guys from the bottom of my heart. And I just feel God is moving us in a real strong direction. I'm just very humble right now.
That's awesome.
Amen. I guess I'll take this one then. Then Sig, then Eddie, just wrap this puppy up. Great topic, great debate, great conversation tonight. Like Nas said, we've been talking all week about expanding this thing and being able to reach those who we want to reach and help those who are in need, who, you know, who are looking for that way out, even though they might not be certain of exactly what it is that they're looking for. I would like to thank Sid. I would like to thank Eddie. I would like to thank Tom. Thank the lady. Thank Nat. Because it was last winter, almost a year ago, me and you had a conversation about being tired of being sick and tired. Running into all people and, you know, watching a bunch of good dudes run around without any sense of, like, real direction. And then watching their son look at them like, okay, confusion is what we're supposed to be in. So we're all confused together. And we're like, oh, hell to the no. It was God's vision that he gave to Wayne to go, what if we brought this, you know, put this all on the table? I mean, literally, put it all on the table, you know, a group of us together who, you know, we've fallen, we've gotten back up, and we pretty much got our heads on straight, and, you know, we keep each other accountable, but help others to be able to do the same thing that we do amongst ourselves as individuals. We got each other. We're fine, and we're getting better every day. But what about those who don't have, you know, friends like we have, what we are to one another? What about them who don't have that type of connection? We could be that connection for them. So I take off my hat to you because this is you. This was your idea. 112%. I just happen just to recognize that you're a damn genius. A bit of a fool from time to time, but a damn genius nonetheless. So, you know, all hat, the hat comes off to you on this one, my brother. You know, anything that I could do, I told you then, as I tell you right now, there's anything that I can do to make this sucker jump, consider it done. It's just done. Point blank. So, you know, now, like I said, Eddie, I tell you, you have made me think. You have made me laugh. You have made me mad. You have, you know, you have just absolutely brought so much into my life in a short amount of time, which I'm indebtedly grateful to God for placing you in my path and in my circle. And I mean, I sincerely mean that. You are my man, 100 grand. You need anything, you want anything. Eddie, you're the only man that I know that I'll call at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? So, you know, not anybody gets that dubious honor. You know, 5 a.m., you know, you call me at 3:30, it's perfectly fine. We'll hash it out. We'll make it work, you know. And that's just me and you. That's how we get down, you know. But he's a, you know, black, always there, always positive. If it's needed, he's right there. He's on point. It's, like I said, it's Tom putting it in, another young man putting it in, putting in the time, you know, about his community, about his people, about his father's business. DeLacy Davis, an inspiration, a mentor, my brother, love of the death. Sig, my sister, I love you. Your passion, your drive, your dedication, absolutely second to none. I ain't got nothing else to say for this week. God bless you all. God continue to keep you and mold you. You pray for me, I continue to pray for you, and let's just move this puppy forward. I'm done.
All right. Good, Sig. We got less than a minute. Go ahead, Sig.
I know. I love you guys. Glad that it was an opportunity I didn't pass up. Eddie, it's on you.
Nah, I just appreciate the foundation, the love, and the ears, and the hearts and minds that come to this location at 7 o'clock to 9 to grow with us. And I pray that we God continues to pour into us so that we can pour into you all. And hopefully you all will come in and pour some into us so that we can all grow together and continue to grow together as a unit of people who just love each other and want to spread love amongst one another. With that being said, God bless you all. Take care. Be safe. We love y'all. Peace.
Night, everybody. Let's fight the power.